SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
SBS, a world of difference. You're with NITV Radio, on mobile, online and on radio.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land NITV Radio broadcasts from, the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people of the Kulin Nation and their elders past and present. We also acknowledge all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander tribes and clans we broadcast to, from the mountains to the plains, from the desert to the sea, from fresh water to salt water.
Yama, welcome to NITV Radio. Beton Tungandaminga ya. Coming up in your program this Wednesday, the 9th of October, well, the 2024 Koori Knockout that just wrapped up has seen one of the most comprehensive coverage from NITV Radio in partnership with NITV and SBS TV, SBS On Demand. NITV Radio's Lorna Grant was on the ground in Bathurst throughout the knockout weekend, getting reflections and comments from players, community members, kids and other stakeholders, including businesses that support community. These stories will be preeminent in our program today. We also look at the Melbourne Fringe Festival that kicks off this week with a groundbreaking musical performance in the Uergaya language. We also feature some deadly tunes by some of the best black artists. But first, the latest news.
Australia Day 1972 saw the first Aboriginal embassy erected outside Parliament.
The native title legislation must be amended.
And they've walked this land so many times before anybody came.
I am sorry.
Bulletin, new data reveals First Nations Victorians 11 times more likely to be searched by police. Debate over whether the NBN should remain publicly owned. And the UN Secretary General expresses concern over an Israeli parliament bill. Racism group has released figures it says reveal that racial profiling is still happening in Victoria's police force. Using Freedom of Information Laws, the Centre Against Racial Profiling has collected 4 years of police reports which they say paint a damning picture of who gets targeted. They say Freedom of Information data shows that in 2023, police were 11 times more likely to search First Nations Victorians than those perceived to be white. Dr. Tamar Hopkins from the centre says that while the data is only taken from Victoria, it matches such figures in New South Wales as well as the UK and the United States.
We have a significant problem here that is underexplored. We do not have the same kind of movements against racial profiling that occur in other countries, and yet we have a problem that is just as significant, if not more, than other jurisdictions.
New laws to extend police search and seizure powers to school children in the Northern Territory will be introduced when Parliament resumes next week. Chief Minister Leah Fonikiaro says the Country Liberal Party will not apologise for progressing the reform, a key promise made during its election campaign. Her comments follow criticism from National Children's Commissioner Anne Holland, who says the changes are a sign of failures across the education, justice and health systems. The proposed amendments, named after 20-year-old butcher shop worker Declan Laverty, who was murdered in 2023, also include tougher bail rules. Anyone charged with assault offences, threats to kill, recklessly endangering life and sexual offences will face an automatic position of no bail. If the anti-parliament successfully lowers the age of criminal responsibility to 10 and passes the laws, primary school children could technically be searched by police and prosecuted. The Prime Minister says keeping Australia's national broadband network publicly owned will ensure the network remains affordable. A bill to keep the $51 billion network in public has been introduced to Parliament. NBN Core's revenue increased by 4% in 2024, but posted a net loss of $1.4 billion due to ongoing cost of investment in the network. Mr. Albanese says keeping the NBN publicly owned will ensure all Australians have access to affordable high-speed broadband.
It's about making sure that the national broadband network can stay in public hands, not be a for-profit provider. That would have, by definition, an obligation to its shareholders, not the Australian people, but its shareholders, and therefore obligated to maximise their profits.
Social service advocates are calling on the government to act immediately on contribute $1.6 billion in federal budget funding for public schools. The Gonski report, led by businessman David Gonski, and which was delivered by the government 12 years ago, called for needs-based per-student funding in public schools across the country. But Cassandra Golding from the Australian Council of Social Services says children in public schools are still waiting for adequate funding and drew comparison to the $20 billion in tax cuts from the last federal budget that mostly went into the hands of higher-income earners. Nicole Dean, capacity building lead at the Australian Research Alliance for Children and Youth, says no child should miss out because of underfunded schools.
Research has shown that children and teachers' well-being has been in decline in recent years, making it even more important, critical, that there is adequate funding for public schools to ensure that teachers can thrive and so that children can thrive. Our children's future isn't something to be scrimping on. Fully funded schools are an investment for the future of all Australians.
United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres says he has expressed profound concern to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu about a draft legislation. Mr. Guterres says the legislation could prevent the agency helping Palestinian refugees UNRWA from continuing its work in Gaza, the West Bank and East Jerusalem. It comes after the Israeli parliament in July gave preliminary approval to a bill which would declare UNRWA a terrorist organization. The Secretary General says approval of the Israeli legislation would be a catastrophe in what is already an unmitigated disaster.
Without UNRWA, the delivery of food, shelter and healthcare to most Gaza's population would grind to a halt. Without UNRWA, Gaza's 660,000 children would lose the only entity that is able to restart education, risking the fate of an entire generation. And without UNRWA, many health, education and social services would also end in the occupied West Bank, including East Jerusalem.
Hundreds of Australians have arrived home after being evacuated in the latest round of flights from Lebanon as bipartisanship on the Middle East conflict breaks down in federal parliament. A government-chartered flight operated by Qantas landed in Sydney last night with 220 citizens and permanent residents on board. The coalition has questioned the federal government over its visa vetting process. It comes following reports a Palestinian man who previously hosted political members of Hamas at an art institute in Gaza was granted entry to Australia in July. Housing Minister Claire O'Neill told Channel 7 Australia has a strict and effective vetting process which is ongoing.
I can't speak to the individual circumstances of this particular person. What I can tell you is that there's a really good process in place here. Every single person who's got a visa from Gaza has been checked individually by ASIO. And not just that, but ASIO actually conducts continuous intelligence checks on people who are here on visas. And I do have confidence in that process.
While opposition finance spokeswoman Jen Hume says there are many unanswered questions about the state of the man's visa.
ASIO told us only a few months ago that as little as liking a tweet that supports Hamas terrorist organisations is enough to get a visa denied. So was this fellow given a visa and then the security check was done, or was a security check done before he got the visa? Is this man going to be sent home now? Is his visa going to be cancelled? This is a question that the government needs to answer.
United States President Joe Biden says he's postponing a planned trip to Germany and Angola to remain at the White House to monitor Hurricane Milton. The president says people in the storm's path, which is bearing down on Florida's Gulf Coast, should listen to local officials and evacuate. It's unclear when Mr. Biden's overseas trip might be rescheduled, but he has promised to go to Africa during his term in office, which ends in January. Hurricane Milton was weakened slightly but remains a dangerous storm which could land a once-in-a-century direct hit on the Tampa Bay region. Back home, lifts, dives, splits and acrobatics. They're just some of the exciting scenes audiences can look forward to in a new First Nations circus performance about to premiere in Nam, Melbourne. In place by the Najinang Circus will open next week as part of the city's French festival. Work on In Place began more than a year ago when the circus troupe decided to give a gift to 100 members of their prospective audience to encourage a connection with the land. Haliman, the founder of Najinang Circus, explains the unique gesture.
Over a year ago, we brought together 100 community participants from the west of Melbourne, of Nam, and gave them each a native plant from the area, which is all grasslands area here. And they took those away to look after them for a year. And now we've collected those and we've used them to create the set of the work here at Footscray Community Arts.
Wild weather is set to hit large parts of the southern Queensland and northern New South Wales this week. The Bureau of Meteorology says damning winds and thunderstorms are expected from the mid-north coast of New South Wales to parts of southeast Queensland, including Brisbane, Toowoomba and Gympie. The warning comes as Australia enters its peak time for tropical cyclones, severe thunderstorms, flooding, heat waves and bushfires. Bureau Meteorologist Angus Hines says the severity of these thunderstorms is expected to pass by Thursday.
In particular, that heavy rain could hit the coast north of Brisbane, especially around that Sunshine Coast area. Some of the most significant storm impacts expected: trees down, which could cause damage and power outages. Dangerous driving conditions, whether that's because of high winds or potentially heavy rain causing flash flooding and poor visibility. And we could just see damage to properties, cars or any outdoor furniture, fences and the like across your property.
And in sport, the Penrith Panthers have been welcomed with open arms by their community after winning the 2024 NRL Grand Final. It comes as the Pacific Championship sides have named their squads ahead of the Rugby League tournament beginning on 18th of October. The Tonga 13 Australia Games men's and women's opened the tournament at Suncorp Stadium in Brisbane. Panthers centre Paul Alamoti, who scored the try that sealed Penrith's grand final victory to cap his second season of NRL, is also in the team. Clive Churchill, medal winner, Liam Martin, says the win is still surreal days later.
It's a really exciting win. It's just incredible. What are we, 3 days later and it's turning out like this? It's just amazing. Yeah, 10 years ago I moved down and could never have dreamt of what's happened. It's amazing.
And now having a look at the weather around the country: Broome, sunny, 34 degrees, Perth, mostly sunny, 24, Adelaide, sunny, 26, Melbourne, similar conditions, 20, Hobart, sunny, 19, Albury Wodonga, also sunny, 19, mostly sunny in Canberra with a top of 19 degrees, cloudy in Wollongong with 18 degrees, same forecast for Sydney with 19 degrees, Newcastle, a shower or two with a top of 19, showers and a possible storm for Brisbane with a top of 24 degrees, whilst it's mostly cloudy in Townsville with a top of 29, and it's partly cloudy in Cairns with a top of 32, sunny in Alice Springs, 36 degrees, Darwin, a sunny day ahead at a top of 36, and the Torres Strait Islands, a mostly cloudy day at a top of 31 degrees. And that is NITV Radio News.
Oh, ITV Radio, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 1 p.m. or anytime online.
And that was Down Under by King Stingray. I'm Bertrand Tungandame, and you're listening to ITV Radio, coming to you from Nam on the Kulin Nation this Wednesday afternoon. Coming up next, we look at the Melbourne Fringe Festival that kicks off this week with a groundbreaking musical performance in the Wergaia language. But the program will feature predominantly stories from the Kulin Knockout that just wrapped up earlier this week. NITV Radio's Luana Grant was on the ground in Bathurst throughout the Knockout weekend, getting reflections and comments from players, community members, kids, other stakeholders, as well as some of the business people supporting the Knockout. On the final day of the 2024 Kulin Knockout, the Redfern All Blacks women's team claimed the top prize, cementing their place as champions in a thrilling grand final win. The annual Knockout is not only a platform for fierce rugby league competition, but is also an important space for showcasing the strength and skill of women in the sport. Proud Wiradjuri woman Darcy Simpson-Carr, a standout player for the Redfern All Blacks, spoke with an ITV radio about the significance of playing in the Kulin Knockout. For Darcy, the event is more than just about the game. It's an opportunity to represent her culture, connect with her community, and honour the legacy of her grandmother, her greatest inspiration. With this grand final victory, the Redfern All Blacks women have not only secured the top prize, but also embodied the spirit of community, culture, and the power of women's rugby league.
Hi, I'm Darcy Simpson-Carr. I'm playing for the Redfern All Blacks. I'm based in Sydney, but I'm from the heart of the Riverina in Griffith, New South Wales. Yeah, that was so special this year. It was the first year my Uncle Rob put in the memorial side for my nan. She passed late last year in November, so it's still very fresh to my family, and them bringing the team here was so meaningful. And the boys, Rob Jr. and Kane, they love Nan so much, and they just played with their hearts on their sleeves for her. And my uncle was so passionate about winning this year, but Lapa got over the line, which was sad, but that's knockout footy in the end. But yeah, it was very special, and yeah, it was a really good thing. It's a positive thing for our culture. You know, we don't get much of this in our lives, but every year, once a year, this comes around, and that's all people talk about. That's all us black fellas talk about. You know, everyone just wants to win it, and we're all so passionate. All these little communities come from all over the place, these big communities as well, and it's just so passionate. Everyone's here, the kids are all here, and yeah, it's such a good thing for our people. To stand out to me would definitely have to be, definitely last year for myself. Playing in my first ever women's knockout was like, that was so big to me. I've come here since I was a little girl, like a baby almost, and I've watched these girls my whole life basically, and just wanted to play with them and play against them, and yeah, it's a really big thing to me. It's so big for the next generation as well. They, you know, they're the future of all of us, and especially the young girls. Women's rugby league is growing more and more every year, and you see some of the best stuff at the knockout. And most of us girls, you know, none of us play NRLW, and we verse these NRLW girls and we beat them, and it's like, do you know what I mean? So it's huge to us. We hold that fire in our hearts, and yeah, it's crazy. Oh, so much talent, eh? Like, You don't get to see it as much because of the Friday. It's not really streamed on NITV, but definitely on the Sunday and the Monday this year, like, I've watched some of the best games. Some of the best games at the knockout are the women's finals and stuff. You know, like, they're the games that everyone comes to watch, and it's just huge, yeah. Definitely need to get, if there isn't already, scouts and stuff here, like, they need to come down here and look at this talent that the girls are bringing. It's amazing. We still have some of the older girls that could still have a crack in the NRLW. Like, there's never an age limit on that, you know what I mean? And especially the young ones, they're like, they're killing it, and we just want to get them pathways, especially for our young girls to get in there. Like, you know, there's not enough black girls in the NRLW. It would be mad to see a couple. Growing up, I loved watching the girls like Shailene Williams and Becca Riley, definitely like Lavina Phillips and Tisha Boney. They all play different positions. They all have their strengths in like different areas on the field, and I love watching all of them. Like, I couldn't really put my hands on one and pick. Like, they all bring something to the table, and I've loved watching them. Like, they just give me adrenaline every time, and I'm playing with a few of them, so that's just so big to me, yeah. Definitely winning it, I don't know, that's all everyone wants to do. Like, that's just the main thing for us black fellas, to win a knockout and to host it somewhere. I wish the girls could pick where we host it, but we can't. But I don't know, I think it's special, you know. The men do their thing too. The men, like, bring the crowds and all that as well. It's huge, yeah. It's huge for all of us. I play for my grandmother. She's always in the back of my mind when I play. Play for the whole Redfern community. Every time I run out there, like, the block always, like, you know, we all grew up down there, we all grew up together, us girls, we play for each other, we're that tight on and off the field, so that's why it all means so much to us. Like, we get out there and everyone always says to us, like, we gel so good together. It's because we actually grew up together, we're sisters, you know, and we're Redfern to the bone.
That was a proud Wiradjuri woman, Darcy Simpson-Carr, a standout player for the Redfern All Blacks, talking to Luana Grant, NITV Radio's Luana Grant. While in Bathurst, Luana also caught up with elder Alec Harrison and his daughter Olivia Harrison, one of the players in the tournament. Alec Harrison, within the South Coast community, attended this year's Koori Knockout to proudly support both his son, the captain of the South Coast Sea Eagles, and his granddaughter Olivia, who played for the Blacktown Red Belly Warriors. Alec spoke about how the knockout has evolved over the years, reflecting on the growing sense of community and the importance of passing down cultural traditions to the next generation. For Olivia, playing the knockout holds deep meaning. She shares how special it is to carry on her family's legacy, highlighting her grandfather Alec as her biggest inspiration.
My name's Alec Harrison. I'm from the South Coast. The team I played for over the years in the knockouts for South Coast, my one and only club. Very passionate about the club. I started in 78, played against Dad and all the teams, and I'm still a part of it. I'm involved in that because, you know, my son's always been a passion of the game. I put him in the game when he was 15, and that brought his passion out, and I follow him because we want to keep the dream alive, sort of thing, for down home, and we're sort of losing. We want to keep it safe for all the young kids that's coming through. That's the main thing. So, you know, we give them something to look forward to at the end of the year, and hopefully they can make something of it. So.
And can you talk to us about the history of the knockouts over the years and how it's changed from when you used to play to today?
Yeah. Oh, well, back when I first went in 78, it was wild. You know, the best thing about, like, we had a lot of, it was an alcohol thing back then. It was, you know, people trying to make money at the ground, you know, for that knockout that year, those years. But when they bought it through, the non-alcohol and all that, the non-smoking, it completely changed the knockout. It brought more families, you know, and I think, and that was the best thing for knockouts, I think, when they made that change, I think, yeah.
And how do you think that the knockout helps to promote our culture?
Oh, well, you know, it promotes our culture far and wide, I think. You know, we had people coming from Victoria that play AFL and used to come and watch us play. So that's how far and wide it went. And, you know, it's just bringing people together and bringing them over this way. And, well, you know, we're all connected. So we all run south, we run out west as well, especially most of the South Coast mob. But what it is, it's just bringing families together, I think, and catching up with mob we haven't seen in a while.
And can you share any memorable moments from previous knockouts that stand out to you?
Well, the year in Monero was the year we put it in, because we had a lot of players that was playing elsewhere. And when I went to the Central Coast, I said to a couple of boys up there, I said, look, we need to bring some of these South Coast boys home because they're playing everywhere else and we haven't got a team in. So we decided to call it year in Monero because it's part of our country, man. I remember the area, my wife's a Ewan, and that's how we've got that name together. And that pretty much connects everybody up on the South Coast and some of the Ewan people, some of the Monero people as well. So, and that made a big impact on some of the mob because it showed them, we got some of the boys that came and played, well, I'm from here. And I think that you know, they put their heart and soul in for that club that year.
And that year was when they played in Bathurst.
Yes.
And then you guys are back here in Bathurst, not with you and Monaro,
no.
the Sea Eagles.
Yeah.
And what's it like, do you think, for some of the players that played in that team to come back today and play?
I thought it was great. Kane coming back, you know, he was one of, that was his first year in New Monaro. Got his blood going, but I mean, it's good to see them boys coming back. We just need the old boys just to keep coming back and pushing these young fellas up and make sure that, you know, they're going to be a part of this, because, you know, this is state football. This is the best football you could ever play. You can play group, you can play for all your groups, but when you're playing this football and you go and play for your group, it's a different ball game. You're going to another level of football. And I think that's what makes, you know, the difference, I think, yeah.
And what impact do you think the knockout has on shining a spotlight on the younger mob coming through?
Look, the passion of it. See, they come and watch us play, you know, the passion of it all. They're watching us, their fathers play, and their aunties playing, and the girls are coming, well, we want to be a part of that too. So, and I think that's what it is, you know. The kids are watching you and they say, well, I want to be like Uncle, oh, I want to be like Auntie. I want to play that level of football because, you know, it just brings dreams for them. And it's opened doors for them, especially in NRL. That's what we're trying to get. And now we've got the women in league in the thing too, and I think it's a great thing, you know, for any of the kids. It's the biggest thing I've ever been a part of. So, you know, and I ain't going to stop until I'm dead, more or less. So, but, yeah, that's how we want the kids to dream. So that's what it's all about.
And what every team here is, you know, playing to be able to win the grand final and take it back to their community. What does it mean to each team to actually, you know, win and then take it home? What does it mean?
It means a lot. It means a hell of a lot. When we got into Ewan, you know, that was the furthest we ever got to a finals. And the people down there were crying, you know, because that's the furthest we ever got. We got up in the 80s, yeah, we got around fourth, around 83, we got around about fourth, like that, and we got knocked out. But you know, it means a lot to our mob down home. It means, you know, when they start crying, we know the passion, you know, because we're giving them something, and it's bringing them away from down there, it's making them travel, because a lot of mob don't travel, and it's making them go, and they're following the gang and all that. So yeah, that's the best thing about it. That's what I like about it, you know. It keeps us where we should be.
Hi, I'm Olivia Harrison. I play for Blacktown Redbelly Warriors, and my mob's the Ewan mob and Camilla Roy.
And what does it mean to you personally being able to play at a knockout in front of your family, friends, the community?
It means a lot. I get to represent my culture, my mob, and where I'm from and all that, play my heart out.
And how do you prepare for a game personally, or do you have any like G-out songs that you listen to or any rituals that you do to get ready for a game?
Yeah, I think I listen to like whatever R&B songs I can listen to and just lock in before warm up and that, and just it's pretty much it, nothing special.
Do you have any words of advice to other young girls that want to come and play for the knockout, and any inspirational messages that you could send to other young women out there that want to play football?
Probably just don't listen to the haters. Just whatever they say doesn't matter. If only that, like, that's what should help push you along and you prove them wrong. And, yeah, just play for yourself and your mob and that.
How many generations have played knockout in your family? Is it every generation?
Pretty much, yeah. Every generation's played, and I'm glad to be in my generation playing, keeping my family's footy and talent, keeping it going through our family and stuff.
And did you used to watch your grandpa play footy when he was Young? Younger?
Not really, but like I see videos and stuff and I hope to be something like him and be as passionate and as powerful and all that positive stuff and, you know, bring that through to the next generation.
And what does it mean to have him here watching you play?
It means a lot. Like, he's a big, like, he's very inspiring to me and I learn everything every day. I learn something new from him.
We must now step aside for a break, but stay tuned because when we come back, we continue our coverage of the 2024 Kuri Nokauta with grassroots voices, including voices from kids and men's yarns.
Visit sbs.com.au/NITV Radio.
Speak My Language, Disability shares stories of Indigenous Australians who are engaging in their passions while also living with their disability. Hear stories about blind fishing, the connection between art and well-being, poetry writing and more in this thoughtful chat with hosts Luana Grant and Kerry Lee Harding. Each episode also offers advice about how to access relevant services and helpful tips and hints from those who've walked the path. This series is part of an initiative funded by the Commonwealth Department of Social Services, led by the Ethnic Communities Council of New South Wales and proudly delivered in partnership with SBS.
The pain got too much and my soul wasn't strong enough to carry us some lighter together.
And that was Body of Mind by Nidala Baka. It said that Nidala Baka is an activist and a gardener born of the Aboriginal Jugun people of the Kimberley. It said that her music is an anthem for open hearts and raised fists. We now continue our coverage of the 2024 Kuri Knockout, which is the largest NRL and community First Nations carnival in the country and most likely even around the world.
Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
Justin Toomey-White, a proud Wiradjuri man from Wellington, New South Wales, played for Nanima Common Connection at this year's Kuri Knockout, marking a decade of the team's participation in the competition. Over the weekend, Justin caught up with NITV Radio's Luana Grant to share his thoughts on what the knockout means for mob and how it plays a vital role in passing down of culture to the next generation. Tanu Nona, a proud Torres Strait Islander man, made his debut at this year's Kuri Knockout, playing for Wiradjuri Aboriginal Rivers. Tanu shared his experience with NITV Radio, reflecting on the excitement of participating in his first knockout. He emphasized how the event not only fosters a sense of community, but also serves as an inspiration for young people, showing them the importance of culture, connection and pride.
Justin Toomey-White, a proud Wiradjuri man from Wellington, and we're representing Nanima Common Connections.
And how does the knockout help to promote our culture, do you think?
That's amazing. It gets to bring all our families together and celebrate once a year. We know with a lot of our mobs, sadly, the only time we get together is sorry business. So to be able to get together for 5 or 6 days, celebrate our culture and celebrate each other and catch up, which is the most important thing.
And how do you feel about the level of talent that's on display this year at the knockout?
It's amazing. We've got young kids like Trell Segwell, for instance, winning a knockout with WAC last year and making a grand final for Redcliffe Dolphins. So that's just one of many talents that are running around. The more we get it televised, the more our kids and our babies get exposed, and we'll have more of our mob running around in the NRL and NRLW in the next coming years.
And what impact do you think the knockout has on like the younger generation coming through, especially the women's as well, the women's games?
Yeah, and it's awesome. We've got our kids and women's used to be on Fridays and Mondays. Now these kids are over the weekend as well, so they're playing Sundays and into Mondays now, which is great. We're walking in to all these services out there that's got for our mob, so we've got our mob has got options to see that there is support out there for us and to make us healthier and happier.
And can you share any memorable knockout moments from this year or previous years that stand out? So
this year is our 10th year in the knockout. Our every year special. We've got our core group of boys that have put this team together 10 years ago. So, but our most memorable moment would have been 2 years ago at the South Coast. We made our first Monday. Then we represented a very special lady, our old Auntie Ma, which sadly lost her life a couple of days after the knockout. So that would have been our best year.
And what advice would you give to young players wanting to play in the knockout?
Give yourself a chance. You deserve to be happy. And not just train a week out of the knockout. You've got a chance to be strong, fit, healthy, 52 weeks of a year. Give yourselves a chance. And that's not only through football, but all the sacrifice and the strength that comes from that gives you a great opportunity that comes with education, health, that makes us stronger. So that the stronger our young babies are, is we're going to have stronger elders in the next 50, 60 years. So we've got to withdraw our strength from our elders, but also have our babies knowing that they deserve to be healthy and happy.
Oh, how are you going? I'm Tony Nona. I played for War this year. It's pretty mad because it's my first one, actually. So there's always been a lot of hype around and the crew knockout. I come up from Torres Strait, so to come down, it's awesome, mate. It's such a big event, you know. Playing against some big names that are, you know, people I've looked up to, watched on the TV. So, you know, it's good to be a part of it.
And how do you think the knockout helps us to share our culture and pass it down to the next generation?
Well, it's everyone coming together, you know. Even the elders coming through, spreading their knowledge, and the older boys in the team, you know, passing down what they know to young boys, and then you've got the little kids, you know, aspiring to be what the big boys are on the field as well. So it's nice. It's just awesome.
And can you talk a little bit about the level of talent that's been on display this year at the knockout?
There's been crazy talent right through down through to the 13 boys, all the way to the 17s, even the girls. I mean, so some of the girls' footy, man, is top notch. And a lot of talent, man. You know, every team can win it, you know, and that's the thing. You know, all the games I've seen have been close, and yeah, it's tough footy.
And can you talk about the impact of the knockout on younger generation?
You see the kids on the side of the field, man. Just a big smiles. Even the boys running around at halftime on the field, kicking the footy. You know, trying to be like the boys out there in their team. And I think it's really inspiring them. You know, they want to be here one day. And
this is your first knockout. What has been your most memorable moment?
But probably just that first game. But you know, it was real close and it was real tight. And we was nervous there on the bench, but we ended up getting the win. It was just awesome. And even this the contact playing against men. You know, it's rough and tough and gritty, and I like that stuff. And that's something I won't forget. One of the aunties, one of the boys' mums, we all playing for, you know. That's what it's all about. You know, when you play these knockouts, you're wearing, it's more than just the jersey. You know, carrying, it's more than just about you. You're carrying other people's names on your back and you know, a whole community and that sort of stuff. You hear the boys' stories and they talk about it, what it means to them, and it just lifts you. It makes you want to, you know, play for them, play better, be a better teammate.
Hundred percent,
man. It's been such a like mad experience. Even though we got knocked out today, man. I want to be back and I want to win it. So yeah, thank you.
Those were Justin Tumi White and Tanu Nona talking to Night TV Radio's Luana Grant on the sidelines of the 2024 Koori Knockout that just wrapped up at the beginning of this week. And while on the ground in Bathurst, Luana also caught up with some of the youngest, well, the next generation of players who'd come in numbers to support their family, teams, and also share what they love the most about the fun-filled sporting and community event.
Hi, my name is Shyla. I'm from Picton and I'm supporting LAPA. The thing I love the most about the knockout is that I get to see all my mob and I get to watch my family play. My dad and my uncles and my cousins are playing for LAPA, and one of my uncles are playing for Blacktown, Red Belly Warriors.
Hi, my name's Koa and I'm from Picton. I'm going for LAPA.
Hi, my name is Nala and I'm from LAPA and I'm supporting LAPA. Everything I love about the knockout is seeing my family, watching everybody play, watching all my family play, my cousins, my stepdad and my uncles.
Hi, I'm Zalia and I'm from New South Wales, Wagga Wagga, and I'm supporting Dindama. The thing I like most is all the free stuff and watching all the boys play. My brother was playing and he scored the last winning try and it was really good.
Hi, my name is Olivia and I'm from New South Wales, Wagga Wagga. I'm supporting Dindama and WAC. My favourite thing about the weekend is hanging around with all my cousins and like watching all the my mob play. I like it that like most of us are Aboriginal and like we're all mobby.
Hi, my name is Lexi and I'm from Maitland, New South Wales, and I'm in the knockout. I'm going for a Radri team. My favourite thing about the knockout is if you get lots of free stuff and you can go around and get lots of face paints and tattoos, and it's really fun and you get to watch everyone play.
Hi, my name is Mariah Saunders and I come from Biripi and I am going for Combined Countries. My favourite thing about the knockout is to watch my dad and my brother play while I watch and support them. They play for Combined Countries and Combined Countries come together. They get their gear for free and they just come play, just come together and just play together. It's like love. Feels like they're playing for me and like our family in that.
Hi, my name is Zayden and I'm supporting Castlereagh All Blacks. My favourite part about the knockout is my family supporting me and that. I love to be a football player because my favourite player is Nathan Cleary.
Hi, my name's Sophia. My favourite thing about the knockout is when they play.
My name's Kay Peckham from Wellington. I'm going for the NCC.
My name's Darren Steenley. I'm from Willow and I'm going for the NCC. My favourite thing about it is, in the knockout is playing with my mates.
Well, with passionate kids like this, the future of NRL is guaranteed. And these voices, grassroots voices, were collected by Luana Grant, who was on the ground covering the 2024 Koori knockout. We must now go to a break, but stay with us, because when we come back, we'll look at a Melbourne Fringe Festival performance in Werga language.
Your community, your conversation. NITV Radio.
Welcome back. Now, a groundbreaking musical performance in the Werga language of Northwest Victoria is premiering in NAM, Melbourne, this week. As Cameron Gooley reports, this show, that's titled Giki Langaku Wergea, aims to keep culture and language alive through the use of song.
A melody celebrating culture and language.
So this project's called Gikilanganku Wergaya, which means we always sing Wergaya. At the end of the day, this show, in my mind, is for mob and it's for community and it's for our community back home. And it's really the first step in a long journey of language reclamation.
The performance, premiering in Melbourne this week as part of the city's Fringe Festival, aims to share the Wagaya language. For Wagaya and Wamba Wamba songwriter Alice Skye, it's a deeply personal experience.
My great-grandmother was one of the elders consulted in one of the earlier dictionaries, Wagaya language dictionaries, and very keen about education and that's sort of something that's carried on through the women in my family and in my life.
That family connection made stronger through language.
Whenever I'm singing Wagaya or whenever I'm learning Wagaya, particularly for this project, doing that more, it's sort of something that I'm doing with them very much in mind.
Each show will be partially improvised, making it a unique experience for every audience.
Doing it in this improvised platform with my incredible collaborators is really unique, and I'm excited for people that get to be a part of that.
Weaving their own personal stories into their performances, embracing the Wagaya language.
To be able to recapture it and reignite it through a medium which I love, which is music and performance, it's basically just me doing my part for Mob to bring the language back to the stage and back to audiences' ears and back to community as well.
Cameron Gooley, NITV News.
And that's all from us on NITV Radio this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Bertrand Tungandame, thanking you for your company today. Till next time, bye for now. Leaving you with Because by Jess Mauboy. A new inside, get another chance. I was hurting, I was broken, I stayed too long, and so that's why.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.